This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
All right. Actually, let's pray again. Father, we need to hear from you this morning by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word that is alive and sharp and powerful. And I pray this morning, Lord, that every word I speak would be your words only, and that they would reach the intended target, Father God, that we, each one of us, myself included, are open to hearing you this morning, Father God. No one wants to hear from me, God, but we all desire to hear from you. Amen. Okay, if you've got your Bibles there, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to have a bit of a look there. I don't know about you, and I know not everyone thinks this way and not everyone loved it, but I got so caught up in the royal stuff that's been happening in the last 2 weeks. I know I sat up and I watched the funeral and I loved the bagpipes. I loved the marching. It's probably something in my Salvation Army heritage, you know, about the whole... I remember I was never involved in such an elaborate march, but always, you know, marching in the band. My dad would be playing the drum and you left, right, and you'd have to do that little skip if you got out of... I mean, it was sad. I didn't love it that the Queen died. But the pageantry of it all, But then on the other hand, it was just so much, wasn't it? Like, it's just so much. All the grandeur and the honour that the world, you know, that we witnessed in the passing of Queen Elizabeth II. And then now we have King Charles III and his ascension to the throne. And, you know, it got me thinking about that whole thing. And I think I mentioned it last week about the fact that we have a king whose kingdom endures forever and ever. And he has ascended into heaven and is seated in heavenly places and he's taken us with him. And anyway, it got me contemplating and thinking about the throne of our King. And that's what I want to look at today. So if you will look with me in Hebrews chapter 4, and I think I'll just start at verse 14. And it says here, I'm reading from the New Living, it says, "So then," so that means I want you to go home and read chapters 1, 2 and 3. So that you know why he's saying this. "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." I want to talk for a few minutes this morning and encourage you and encourage myself and spur each other on this morning as we look at the throne of grace. So what is this throne of grace? What does it look like? Well, the throne of grace is prayer. That's what the throne of grace is. I just want to take a few points. So point number one, we have a great high priest, our King, Lord Jesus. You know, when we think of priests, or I don't know about you, but often, you know, if we hear the word priest in our modern society, the first thing I think of is the Catholic Church. And I think of priests and fathers and things like that. In the Old Testament, priests held a very special office, and the high priest was the only one who could enter the Holy of Holies and be the one to approach God on behalf of the nation of Israel. Now, we need to remember that this letter of Hebrews is written to Jews. It's written to Jewish people. These Jews were leaving behind the old patterns and traditions of their religion that they'd known, and they were living now under a new covenant. And the author of Hebrews is encouraging them and saying, what you're leaving behind, you're not losing anything. You're not losing anything when you're giving up that old way. And I want to say that to each of us today. You're not losing anything. We don't lose anything when we give up our old way and our old traditions. What we gain is so much more. The author is saying, because we don't know who the author of Hebrews is, there's lots of ideas, but, you know, if God wanted us to know, there would have been a name written on the bottom, so that's okay. The author is saying that this high priest, Jesus, is greater than any other high priest these Jews had ever had. In this verse, Jesus is declared the great high priest, superior to any other high priest that has ever been. And in the beginning of the letter, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, the author explains that Jesus is greater than the angels in chapter 1, you know, because we're talking about Old Testament times here, and you might not think that's relevant, but, you know, we do get caught up sometimes and forget what the proper, I want to say hierarchy is, because there is a hierarchy. Jesus is greater than any angel. This high priest is greater than the angels. He explains that Jesus is greater than Moses in chapter 3. And here in this verse, the writer makes it clear that Jesus is the great high priest. He accomplished what no other person had ever done. He has entered heaven and he has torn the veil of separation. There is no one like Jesus. And he has done what no other person, no angel, Moses, Joshua, anyone that you can think of, he has done what no one else could do. And he sacrificed his life for you. And he's become our great high priest. And not only that, my second point is he understands. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. This high priest is ours. That's an ownership thing. He's your high priest. He is ours, and the best bit is he understands you. How good is it to know that there's someone who understands you? I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I've been misunderstood. Where I have just felt that nobody understands me. Sometimes I don't even understand myself. I don't understand myself. And by the way you've reacted, I guess you don't understand yourself sometimes either. Sometimes it feels like no one understands me or even really knows me. And I've had those conversations even with ones who've been the closest to me. And I've said, but if you really knew me, or you just mustn't know me at all. But the Bible tells us here, you have got someone right now who understands you. And he knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He understands you. He loves you. He gave his life for you. He intercedes for you right now. There is someone seated in the place of highest authority who understands you and sees you and knows you. And you know that saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know? Yeah. So if you've got a situation right now where you feel like you're misunderstood or no one understands, surely no one understands the situation I'm in. The Bible tells us that you've got someone right now who understands you. And you know why he understands you so well? Because he's been where you've been. He's experienced the same things you experience. He's faced the same things you face. You know, we get caught up in the details of sin. When it says that Jesus was tempted in every way we're tempted, we kind of like to list off things. Yeah, but did he get tempted to do this? Or did he get tempted to do that? Or did he get, you know, we get caught up in the details. But really all sin can be narrowed down to three things. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. And Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, yet he didn't sin. But right now, there is a man, there is a human. That's why Jesus had to remain a human. You know, when he came down from glory, this astounds me. When he came down from glory, he didn't just put on humanity for the time that he was on earth, knowing that, okay, it's only going to be 33 years. I can do that. And then I'm going to go back to heaven and I'm going to step out of that humanity and step back into what I was. No. Jesus knew that when he came down and entered into humanity, he would remain a human man for eternity. And that's why there are some people who, for whatever reason, if they don't understand that about Jesus, they feel that they can't pray or that Jesus can't relate to them because they've made him not human anymore. We have a human being in heaven who understands all about us right now. He understands what it's like to be tired, grumpy, lonely, hungry, thirsty, rejected. He's felt pain, abandoned by every friend he's ever had, the ones closest to him who swore, "I'll never leave you. I will love you forever. I'll never leave you." He understands. He understands what it's like to have no money. He had to go and get money out of a fish to pay his tax. He understands. And he knows you. So I want you to know that today. Our high priest knows you and he understands. And so because of this, verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. We're invited to come. We're invited to come to the throne of grace. We're invited to come to prayer. There is an action that's required on our part. It happens when we come. It happens when we do something. God is not forcing us. God is not commanding us. God's inviting us to come. He's not demanding. He wants to help you. God wants to help us. God wants to help you. God wants to act strong on your behalf. He loves to do that. So many of us think that God is waiting to punish us. And even as Christians, we fall back into our old habits of thinking. And we think that we've done something so wrong that God would surely want to punish us for that. And I felt like the Father saying today, why would I want to punish you when I've already punished Jesus? I need to remember that. I want you to remember that today. When you're feeling condemnation, when you're feeling like you deserve punishment, you know what? The truth is you do. And I do. But God, the Father, is saying, come to the throne of grace where you'll find mercy and everything you need because I want to help you. Why would I want to punish you when my son has already paid that price? Jesus has already been punished for you and me. And because of that, we can come boldly. Now, boldly doesn't mean that we come arrogantly. There's a difference. But we do come boldly. I know that I'm not worthy. I know that. Like I said, I know myself. Well, sometimes I know myself, sometimes I don't. But I know I'm not worthy. I know what sort of person I am. I know the things I think. I know the things I say sometimes, like Pam was saying in communion, but Lord, didn't you hear me? I think that you all know that you're pretty no good too. We don't need anybody to tell us about our faults, do we? I don't. And most of the time it hurts when people point them out because I was kind of hoping you wouldn't notice them. But we know that we're not worthy. I know the things I've done, the thoughts I've had, the words I've said. And sometimes that keeps me away from prayer. And I think sometimes it probably keeps you away from prayer as well. Where we think to ourselves, why would God want to listen to me? I know who I am, but it's not about who I am. And it's not about who you are. It's about who He is. It's about who your high priest is. It's about the one who knows you and understands you and is interceding on your behalf. Boldly means that we can come constantly, without reservation, without fancy words, with confidence and persistence. One thing God's really been speaking to me about lately, and I just say this, I hope, as an encouragement to you, especially around the idea of you don't have to come with fancy words. And so many times I find myself falling into the habits of things I've learnt my whole Christian life. And it's not that they're wrong. It's not that they're bad, but they've become habit. And they can become a little bit like, oh, if I didn't say our Father and in Jesus' name at the end, our Father at the beginning and in Jesus' name at the end, then He didn't hear any of the prayer at all. It's like you've got to tick off all these boxes to make sure you've got exactly the right thing. And that's not what it is. God's saying to me, I don't want you to come with your fancy words. I just want you to come and I want you to come. And I just, you know, He wants you to speak to Him just like He's in the room, because He is. And you're looking into His face. Ephesians 3:12 says, because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. We can tell Him everything. I went to the dentist this week. Actually, I went last week and I found out I needed to have a filling, so I had to go back this week. And when I went back and I sat in the dentist chair, she's such a good dentist. She's got all these little pictures of little furry animals up on the ceiling to make you feel good. And she gives you a little squeezy toy that you can hold on to. It's really, you know, it's really quite nice. But I didn't know. I sat in the chair and she said to me, now you do know this is a deep filling. Yes. I'm like, what? You didn't say that last week. And, you know, I'm going to have to really get in there and it might affect your nerve and you might get some pain later. And I'm like, and I just, do you think in that dentist chair with that thing in my mouth and all that, that I had time to say, our Father who art in heaven? I went, yes, I went, Jesus. Please, Lord. I did. I'm like, please, Lord, I don't know, I don't want any pain. And that was quite a selfish prayer. I don't want any pain. I don't want the pain, God. Please don't let that, any of that be true. He heard my prayer and none of it was true. My tooth's great. God loves to answer our prayer. I heard this story this week and it kind of, it just is so good. And it was about a pastor who, a minister who was getting his message ready, and he lived out in the country. You know, it was a beautiful day. He's in his office. He's in the zone. You know, he's got all the windows open because it's a beautiful day. And his kids are out playing out in the, you know, it's out in the forest somewhere, out in the woods. So the kids are out. They've gone off adventuring. And while they're out playing, one of the kids gets their ankle caught in a trap, in an animal trap. Now, the dad, the kid, of course, is like screaming, Dad, help. And the dad hears that through the open window. He hears his son cry for help, like he heard that cry. Now, the dad said, in that moment, he didn't stop and think to himself, now, has Tim made his bed today? I'll just go check his bedroom. Has Tim done all his homework? Did he listen to his mother this morning? Did he feed the dog? No, he didn't think of any of that. He heard his son's cry, and in that moment, he dropped everything and ran. Because he knew the cry of his child, and he wanted to be there, and he wanted to help his child. And that's what our Father is saying. You can come boldly. You don't have to come with fancy words. Help is enough. And he longs to come and act strong on your behalf. Tell him everything. You know, how often should we come? All the time. I don't know about you, but I need help all the time, every day. Every day. Some of you have heard me say this before, and actually you've all agreed with me a little bit too much. I am a really good person. In the morning, I get my cup of coffee, I get up, I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, so good. You know, I haven't said anything bad. I haven't thought anything bad yet today. I haven't acted badly. But then I'm going to go outside. I'm going to interact with the world. I'm really good. I need help all the time, in every situation. And not just every day, every hour, every minute. I need help right now, God. When I don't know what to do, when you don't know what to do, you've got somewhere to go. When you do know what to do and you're too scared to do it, you've got somewhere you can go. When I'm lonely, when I'm afraid, when I don't know how I'll pay the bills, when I don't know what to do with my kids, when I'm sad, when I'm happy, when I'm thankful, when I'm mad, I've got someone who understands all of that. And he says, you can come boldly to me. Come often, come every day, every hour, every minute. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we have to be in a 24/7 prayer meeting, because it would be kind of difficult to drive your car or to go to work when you're doing that. But what it does mean is you live in the throne room. The throne room, the throne of grace, is not somewhere we visit. It's somewhere we live. It's somewhere we dwell. Constantly approaching the throne of grace. And there we will receive his mercy. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Mercy, not getting what we deserve. Compassion, forgiveness, shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. It is within God's power to punish or harm you. It is within his power to do that. And he chooses not to. He chooses to show mercy. He chooses to offer mercy in a society that is always wanting what we deserve. It's everywhere. My rights. I deserve better than that. I deserve better than that. I deserve to be treated with respect. I deserve this. I deserve that. I, for one, am glad that God doesn't give me what I deserve. Remember, this letter, Hebrews, is written to Christians. I don't know about you, but I've messed up once or twice since I was born again. When I became a Christian, when I was born again, I wasn't compelled to sin. There's a choice involved. And since I became a Christian, I have messed up once or twice. And I think I'll probably mess up once or twice more before Jesus comes again. And I'm pretty sure that you're going to mess up again too. And that's why we're invited to the throne of grace, so that we can receive mercy and grace. God loves to show mercy to those who approach and ask. 1 Peter 1:3 says that God has great mercy towards us. And if you look that up in the Strong's, it says this about great. It says it's abundant, plentiful, copious, ample, profuse, rich, lavish, liberal, generous, bountiful, large, huge, bumper, overflowing, infinite, inexhaustible, opulent, and prolific mercy. God's not cheap or stingy. He's lavish and generous. It's all through the Bible, that sort of language. And we will receive mercy and grace. If mercy is not getting what we do deserve, then grace is getting what I don't deserve. We don't deserve anything except punishment. We know that's the truth, but God is so good. God is so good. Not only does he doesn't give me what I do deserve, but instead he gives me what I don't deserve. He gives me abundant, plentiful, copious, ample, rich, lavish, liberal, generous, bountiful, large, huge, bumper, overflowing, infinite, inexhaustible, opulent, prolific mercy and grace. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much." We've heard this already this morning. "That even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." Think about that for a minute. Not only did you not get what you did deserve, but God loved you so much that he extended lavish mercy and grace, wiped the debt, took you to the top, sat you down in heavenly places with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is that not excite you? That's pretty good. Not only did you not get what you did deserve, which is actually what you did deserve was to die the death that he died. That's what we all deserved, death. The wages of sin is death. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you deserved to die. But he took your place. And not only that, not only he doesn't just see, this is the extravagance of God. Not only did he pay your price, but it wasn't so you'd just get by. It was so you could sit in heavenly places. Do we understand the place of authority he's put us in? And why? So that we can bring whatever's happening in heaven to earth. You're seated in heavenly places so you can see what's going on in the heavenly places. And then you get to bring that down to earth, to your situation. We let our unworthiness keep us away from prayer, but the good news is he is worthy. The devil will do everything and anything to stop you from coming to the throne of grace because he knows that's where we find mercy and grace. He will remind you of all your faults, remind you of your weaknesses. For believers, this throne is not a throne of judgment. There is no record kept of your sin. The only record of your sin is the one that you've got in your head that you like to play over and over and over and over and over again and agree with the enemy about. God chooses to forget. Do you know that's a choice that he makes, right? Because God actually knows everything all the time about everyone. But he chooses to forget your sin. And there is no record of it anywhere. God sees the blood of Jesus and says, "I choose to show mercy." You know, we have an advocate. I just want to read this from John Guzik. Jesus is our defender. Even when we sin now, right now, God is not shocked by human behavior. He's seen it all before and he's seen it all in advance. He didn't forgive us at one time to say later, "Hey, look what they did now. If I would have known they would go and do that, I would never have forgiven them." His forgiveness is available to us now. As if we stand as the accused in the heavenly court before our righteous judge, God the Father, and our advocate stands up to answer the charges. And he says, he, she is completely guilty, Your Honour. In fact, they've done even worse than what they're accused of and now makes a full and complete confession before you. And the gavel slams and the judge asks, what should be their sentence? And our advocate answers, his sentence shall be death. He deserves the full wrath of this righteous court. All along, our accuser Satan is having great fun at all of this. We are guilty. We admit our guilt. We see our punishment. But then our advocate asks to approach the bench. And as he draws close to the judge, he simply says, Dad, this one belongs to me. Yeah. I paid the price. I took the wrath and punishment from this court that he deserves. And the gavel sounds again, and the judge cries out, guilty as charged, penalty satisfied. And our accuser starts going crazy. Aren't you even going to put him on probation? No, the judge shouts, the penalty has been completely paid by my son. There is nothing to put him on probation for. Then the judge turns to our advocate and says, son, you said this one belongs to you. I release him into your care. Case closed. Yeah. Jesus is our advocate. That's amazing. Lastly, I just want to finish with this thought. This all happens when we need it most. And some translations put it this way, at just the right time. When you think you can't take any more. Anyone felt like that? You just can't take any more. When you're hanging on by a thread. And at just the right time, when you need it most, here is the promise. If you approach the throne of grace and tell your Father what it is that you need, he is dying and did die to fulfill that for you. One of the things, this is probably a very poor example, but it just comes to mind. One of the things Charlie, my husband, used to do, and he loved to do this, absolutely loved to do it. It gave him the biggest thrill. He would love to buy things for people in secret and then just give it to them without them knowing that it came from him. Or we'd go out for a family dinner and he would love to sneak up and pay for everybody. And there'd be so many times where I would think, our kids don't deserve that. The way they'd behaved maybe, or, you know, the way their families had behaved. Or, you know, we'd be out and Charlie would just be like, no, I'm paying for that. And why did he do that? It was quite selfish in a way because he loved it. It gave him such pleasure, and that's what I see the Father. Do you deserve it? No. Does he love to do it for you? Yes. It gives him such joy to do that at just the right time. This church is a promise. You will receive his mercy. It doesn't say here in my Bible, just come and give it a go. Can't hurt. Just ask him. Maybe. Maybe he'll do it, maybe he won't. Is he in a good mood? Should I come now? Should I wait? Wait till he's, you know, maybe dealt with world hunger or something and then come and give him. No, it says in my Bible, you come boldly and you will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. This is a promise. When we experience the mercy and grace of God, we can extend that same very mercy and grace to others, the revolution of love. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, it says in Psalm 23, verse 6. If I'm one who's found at the throne of grace, then wherever I go, mercy and grace will be evident in my life. Wherever I go, mercy and grace is following me. Come on. Chasing me down, hunting me down. So wherever I go, whenever I'm interacting with people, that's the atmosphere around me. That's the atmosphere around you. God loves to wipe my slate clean. That's one of my favourite passages in the Bible where it says that he took the record of charges that was against me and he tore it up. And not only that, he made fun of my accuser. He tore it up. There is no record. We like to keep records of people's wrongs and faults and even our own. We're hardest on ourselves, usually, if you're anything like me. I can remember everything I've ever done wrong. Every word I've said, well, not every word I've said, but, you know, we know how bad we are. But God chooses to forget that. God loves to wipe my slate clean. He loves to wipe your slate clean. Let us be ones who demonstrate to all around about us. Let's be just like our dad. Let us express to all of those around about us for the sake of the world the abundant, plentiful, copious, ample, profuse, rich, lavish, liberal, generous, bountiful, large, huge, bumper, overflowing, infinite, inexhaustible, opulent, prolific love of God. People know how bad they are. They don't need you to tell them. The world needs to experience the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. Let's pray. And actually, while we do that, we're going to come to the throne of grace and we're going to lift up David's mum, Heather. And she needs healing. And I believe, actually, David, just thinking about this, you know, we prayed for healing before and I believe that your mum's been included in that. Healing for her mind, her memory and her body, her whole being. Yeah. And again, David, sign off. God is good. God is awesome. God is mighty. Amen. Father God, we thank you. I thank you today because you are such a generous God. You are extravagant in your love towards us. You are extravagant, over the top mercy, outrageous grace. There aren't enough words to describe it, Lord God. But we know it. We know what we deserved, Lord, and yet you gave us what we didn't deserve. And you've said, Lord, that if we come to the throne of grace, we will find mercy and grace when we need it most. I pray for my brothers and sisters today, Father God. I pray for each one, Lord, that they would have that revelation in their life, that they would experience it, Lord, not just know it in their head as knowledge, but to experience it in every day in their life, Lord God. I pray, Lord, for the ones here. I just feel like the Lord has shown me there are ones here today who there are things weighing heavy on your heart that you've never told anybody. God sees that. And he says today, he forgives you. And he carries that burden for you. He understands you. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray for us as we go around about our lives this week, Lord, that mercy, goodness and mercy will follow after us, as your word says. I thank you for that promise and that it would be evident to all around as we extend your mercy and grace to others. It would open doors for us, Lord God, so that we can share your goodness and your mercy to all of those around about us, Lord, that we can share the gospel and people will be saved, Lord God. People will come to know you, Lord. Thank you for your word to us today. Seal it to our spirit, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.